Before we hear our scriptures for this day, let us turn to God in prayer. O God, you gave us the living word. Help us to listen to it, to live with it, and to be bold enough to let it change our lives and the lives of those with whom we come in contact each and every day. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Old Testament lesson comes from the book of Exodus. You can turn to page 60 in the Old Testament section of the Pew Bibles. We will be reading from the 13th chapter, beginning with verse 17. Let us indeed hear the word of God to us. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was nearer, for God thought, if the people face war, they may change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people by the roundabout way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of the land of Egypt to prepare for battle. And Moses took with him the bones of Joseph, who had required a solemn oath of the Israelites, saying, God will surely take notice of you, and then you must carry my bones with you from here. They set out from Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord went in front of them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them along the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, so that they might travel by day and by night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Let us listen now for the word of God. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some of the women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But the men urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So Jesus went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us as he was talking to us on the road while he was opening the scriptures to us? That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I am 2 weeks away from marking my 1-year anniversary of serving as pastor here at Highland. And in my first year of ministry, I have put over 3,400 miles on the church buses. This is a significant marker for me because it speaks to the many, many miles and hours journeying together. I have driven the bus caroling to Salem Town in December, shopping with the youth for the needs of the children's home. We went to the Dash game, to Florida and back on a mystery destination trip, to Raleigh and back with the confirmation trip, to Mobile, Alabama and back with the senior highs on a mission trip, and just this week throughout Winston-Salem with the middle schoolers on our service week. And in 3 hours, I go to Montreat for my first youth conference with this Highland Senior High youth group. What a year of going it has been. Go is my favorite verb. The family lore reminded me this week that go was my first word. Donut was my first big word, but today we're talking about go. I have never been one to sit in one place when there are options to go and see and do more. When we go, we open ourselves up to change, to see the world a bit different, to share what we have with others, and also learn about ourselves. These last 2 weeks, these buses have gone out, carrying our youth from this church who have sought these very experiences. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. These two men have a lot to talk about. They have just lived through an amazing 3 days. They saw Jesus tried and condemned to death, died, buried, and now there are stories about an empty tomb and appearances to these women. So 7 miles, they walked together. They set out for Emmaus. We don't really know why they're going, but it's a good walk. Plenty of time to begin discussing all of these things. The bus is not quite the same as a good walk, but it gives us space to begin the journey. A bus at Highland means that up to 15 people go with you. That on a bus we can play bingo, we can argue about the radio, we have a pretty powerful sing-along to some Miley Cyrus songs, we shout out Mad Libs and laugh, oh my goodness, do we laugh. The bus for me has always been a place of transformation, one of those liminal thin spaces we like to talk about in the church. 11 of us climbed on board that bus 2 weeks ago to drive the many hours it took to get to Mobile, Alabama. It was a really quiet bus ride, honestly, because we left before the sun came up. 26 of us boarded the bus throughout the week, this week, to serve around town on our middle school service week. That was a much louder bus. We journeyed and spent our days serving a wide variety of urban mission sites and meeting new friends from both our church family and those in these communities. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And Jesus said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know these things which have taken place in these days?" And Jesus asked them, "What things?" I wonder about Jesus every time I read this story, and I've read this story every day for 2 weeks. Why? Why did he keep these men from recognizing him? Just like when Jesus appeared previous to this story to Mary in the garden. It's like Jesus is wanting these people to prove themselves, or maybe he's hoping that they say the right thing, or just curious, because sometimes we like to know what people say about us. I don't know why he does this funny thing. I wonder if these men knew or thought to look for Jesus in front of them, would they have seen him? When we go out, we leave to go out, our expectations and our reasons for going vary quite a lot. Some are excited to grow in their faith. Some hope to get to know people in the church better. Some are bored and want something to do. Some are at the church before the doors open, ready to go. Just like Jesus asked these men on the road, we spent our first days of both of these trips asking, what things are we going to be doing? The schedule in Mobile was impressive. We would spend our mornings doing things like serving breakfast at the Government Street Presbyterian Church, or a river cleanup, or going to the L'Arche community, which is a community for people who are living with mental disabilities, or attending a missionary Baptist worship service and then serving dinner for anyone in Mobile who was hungry. These places were the setting for our week to challenge our expectations and change how we see our neighbors and ourselves. As they came near the village to which they were going, Jesus walked ahead as if he were going on. But the men urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And then he vanished from their sight. Each day, the last 2 weeks, the youth have reflected on this scripture passage and the question of recognizing Jesus. This practice of looking with our eyes opened us to see Christ all around, and it was a powerful experience. We began more and more to see the work we were doing as more than just the feel-good stuff, but as holy ground, walking and serving alongside Christ. And I want to share some of those moments with you. We were amazed over and over again at the gratitude and thanksgiving we heard from people we met who were in very difficult situations. At the Missionary Baptist Church, where we were invited to perform a song in worship and help serve a dinner meal, a man in the congregation that night felt led to stand and share a prayer for the day. He lifted up how grateful he was that God had woken him up that morning, given him the gift of a day, how God had blessed him through this community and the fellowship of this church to provide a meal and some worship and a refuge. This stuck with our group that a meal, something we take for granted, or worship, something that we take for granted, was for him a celebratory gift, that a secure home was a gift that this man just did not have. Our eyes were opened. One of the senior highs recognized the celebratory love that bubbled up over and over in the time that we spent with the L'Arche community. L'Arche is an amazing worldwide community model for individuals living with developmental and mental disabilities. We admittedly had certain expectations that quickly went away once we actually met these new friends. We met Sarah, an incredible artist, comedian, and brain cancer survivor who lived with infectious joy. One of our youth shared that they had survived Sarah's many strong hugs and kisses. She's invited us back. Our friends in this community have such an innocence and gladness. They can do anything we can, and our eyes were opened. One of the favorite sites we served was the Government Street Presbyterian Church's Coffee Club, which is a breakfast served to anyone who is hungry in the church fellowship hall. The coffee club was started over 30 years ago by a college intern who noticed a need for breakfast. Our group had no complaints leaving for work before 6 a.m., really, as if once they realized what a difference their service was making, the early hour didn't mean as much. As they served a simple meal, they saw Jesus in the deep gratitude of our guests. One said that they were so sweet. They didn't know us, but they loved us and were so grateful. The joy found in a simple early morning breakfast surprised us, and our eyes were opened. Closer to home, our middle school group noticed similar Christ sightings in the Winston-Salem community. Serving a morning with the Special Olympics camps, one youth noticed that, really, we all like to play the same games, and we like to laugh. Some just need a little more help. With the diaper bank, we packed 9,825 diapers, and our minds just couldn't quite hold the knowledge that we had helped almost 400 families care for their babies in a week. That's amazing. Our youth achieved the single largest packing event for this organization in their history. Or what about the families, over 700 families we counted, that we packaged oatmeal for in under an hour at Sunnyside? There was more work to be done, but they underestimated our ability and didn't have enough bags. So we can go back. Or what about working in the garden with our friends at El Buen Pastor, who will learn and grow and eat from their garden? Our eyes were opened. Again and again, our eyes were opened to Christ in our midst, in the grace and joy and gratitude and stories shared between our youth and our friends. Where we initially expected certain behaviors and attitudes in ourselves and in those we would meet, we were surprised by the reality. We're all the same. One youth shared that they realized this week that we are all just the same unique creations of God, that God is working in all of our lives. What sets us apart is our circumstances, that the respect for people and the kindness shown both in the agencies and by the friends that we served made such a difference and celebrated an honored life. Another shared simply that a little bit of help really can change someone's life. And I think that's really true. Sharing the love of Christ, respectfully caring for our neighbors, using the gifts of our hands and hearts to serve and change lives. Were not our hearts burning within us, said the men who had walked and talked and shared a meal with Christ. Highland, we've got some holy heart burn happening. We have recognized Christ in our service to others, and it's contagious. These young people are ready to jump in now that we've come back to tell you about it. I've already heard from families of youth that are looking at new ways of serving around here and in agencies that we visited on their own time. We're looking differently about how we're going to have youth fellowship this year. We are changed. Our eyes have been opened. That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. These young people, your young people, the young people that are sitting in this room, have journeyed near and far. And they're not the same as when we left. They're changed. I'm changed. Oh my goodness. Our youth are inviting us all to go with them on this new journey. And we need you to help us make it happen. We need those bus drivers. We need those adults who are going to be safe with a box cutter. And we need your help lifting those very full boxes of canned goods. But most of all, we need you to partner with us, to share in this mission together. We are strongest as the body of Christ together. We need you to invite us to serve on your fleeing teams, or to take us with you when you serve at Samaritans, to invite us to share our voice in your committees. Because sometimes our parents can't always take us. That's the gift of the church. We need and invite you to go and journey with us. Beyond just chaperones, we need you as partners to be part of this ministry together, to help our youth to continue to go out and see Christ in the world. This is an exciting time. We're 1 year in, and you've got some youth with hearts on fire. Thanks be to God. Amen.